There we go. Good morning, everyone. Try number three. Internet has been challenging for us this morning. Good morning from the Explicit Measures podcast with Mike, Tommy, and Seth. We're going to see how this goes. So everyone seems to have internet now, or I think we're good to go. Let's rock and roll. Let's start off with quick little introduction stuff. So new things announced or things that are coming out here recently. Hopefully everyone can hear everyone. Let's do a quick audio check while we're here as well. I see Tommy's bouncing the audio meter. Seth?
I'd say happy Tuesday, but the trolls and the internet are out.
Anyways, we made it. We figured it out. No big deal. Whatever. We're here.
Oh, man, that was fun. Thanks for everyone for staying
on. I hope this isn't indicative of like the rest of the day.
Oh, it could be bad.
Otherwise, it's going to be a doozy.
Seriously. So just the last over the weekend, I guess this is kind of the recent announcement. Actually, last week I announced the kind of the new tool that's been a collaboration project between myself, Dieter, and James Bartlett around doing DAX quick measures. If you haven't seen the project, we actually have a couple YouTube videos. I started a season two around DAX quick measure templates or quick DAX templates. Should be a really interesting project. Basically, it allows you to be able to parameterize your DAX statements and lift them and shift them to any data model that you want. So I've been doing a couple YouTube blogs around that. Think that would be pretty cool. Anyways, with that, let's jump into our very abbreviated topic today because people got to go and do work things today. So
we're going to try to extend it. We're going to try to extend it.
Tommy's got to cancel some meetings in order for this to go longer.
Hopefully no one from CompQ watches this anyways.
So jump in today with our topic today, Tommy. Give us, what's the topic for today? What are we talking about?
Yes. So we've talked about this before, but really we're talking about planning, workspace creation, and management. We got the inspiration from Melissa Coates, Coates Data Strategies. She put out an article just basically about what the criteria goes into a workspace in Power BI. When you should create one, who should be able to create one.
Yep.
And basically what goes into it. And really what we want to talk about today as we had our own internal discussions was, you know, how does that actually look in a sense, what we've seen in organizations that we've worked in? Do we kind of agree with that? And then also, what do you do when it's, you know, it's great when you fresh start off creating workspaces in a plan.
Yep.
But what happens when you already have the unmanaged content?
There's a lot to go on to a lot. There's a lot here to unpack, right? So I'm going to start maybe some of the basic parts around workspaces and what, let's just define what they are for those of you who are not super familiar with them. Workspaces are just a place to manage content, pull content together and have managed content in a single place. So there's a lot of Power BI files that are out there. You're trying to group them into a single place, single location. That is really the gist of what a workspace is. Initially, and I think this is actually changing here a little bit. I think there's some stuff on the release plan that it has been previously one audience, one workspace. That's it. It's basically one place. So, I mean, that's kind of how you...
Are you going to finish that thought?
Well, that was one audience plan. For what?
Well,
what's on the release plan?
What release plan?
Sorry. I should finish that. The other half of that. Yeah. On the release plan, there's supposed to be multiple audiences or multiple... You can kind of pick and choose what you want to share. And from the release plan they're talking about, you can have one workspace that could be multiple audiences. Like, you're thinking, like, this is my HR team. I'd have reporting for HR. That would be one audience I would give reporting to. Or I might have my operations team. I'll have one group of reports that I'm going to give to them. Previously, I'd had to make two workspaces for that. And that's actually how deployment pipelines work from dev QA or dev test and prod. I think you get three separate workspaces. But now they're changing that a little bit and allowing you to have one workspace, multiple audiences, picking the assets that people can or cannot work with, which I think is a good move. But that's going to change kind of how we govern workspaces, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting too in the role of the workspace, because I remember back in 2016, 2017, the white papers that you could actually download from the Power BI doc site was literally a white paper, it was a Word document. I remember one of the early ones was Power BI Governance Approaches. And it talked about workspaces in depth, and I remember talked about trying to focus workspaces, like why you should create a workspace based on projects or specific needs rather than too broad of like from a department point of view. I disagreed with that back then, but it's interesting if you were to have a workspace now, I think where how a lot of people use it, and I would want to hear what you guys think. I think most organizations, most Power BI admins probably create workspaces based on teams or departments because you want something to be static, but rather than like a project based.
I think a mistake earlier on in this part is allowing people to make workspaces on their own a little bit more freely instead of having more of a governed process around it. I think most of the organizations I've walked into, there's been very little to no thought around how workspaces get deployed or developed. So it's just kind of out there. There's just a whole bunch of workspaces that everyone can kind of like, here they all are. These are all the workspaces. So
would you be a proponent of disabling that feature, that capability?
I think
off the bat,
man, that would be great if you could actually just allow a subset of your users to do that.
Man, if there's a setting inside admin portal that would give that to you.
Almost.
So this would be one of the things I think Melissa would talk to or speak to in some of her documentation around. This is a strategy that you kind of come in place here. So you kind of turn that off initially, leave a certain group of people or have people go through training to understand what's turning on in that workspace element. So as people become comfortable, right, you're going to have to trust people at some point. So that totally means, you know, we're going to have a security group, and I would manage everything with security groups. I think that's a really good, a strong way of managing everything in Power BI. I think that's really the recommended documentation from Microsoft, is turn on security groups first. And then as people go through that training, they can then say, okay, now I'm a part of that. I understand what's going on. I understand the implications of why we're building workspaces. But again, that comes with a little bit of forethought. You need some thoughts around initially, like, hey, this is why we're doing what we're doing.
Well,
but isn't that part of the planning though?
Yeah, I'd agree.
So that speaks to me that workspaces in general probably should be an admin level thing, because what I try to do, right, is figure out based on requests that are coming in for new things, is, you know, how do you create a workspace for an engineering, like for a group?
Yeah,
right,
totally.
And if I'm going to create a group, I'm going to ask IT to create an AD group for the members of that group. So exactly. I don't have to manage permissions within the workspace.
Correct.
Or manage permissions, I should say, in the sharing of things.
Yeah. So actually, I want to take a quick step back with when we talk about workspace, and I know there's apps as well from sharing. Well, let me ask you, if you were to give your elevator definition of what is the role of a workspace in Power BI? Flat out. Straight up.
Okay, so go ahead, Seth. No, Seth, go. Go, Seth.
The role of the workspace is to combine a collection of report artifacts that I can share with a wider audience. But it's predominantly for, well, I think there's two roles, right? I'm the BI team, and I create content for other groups, where I would be bucketing as many of those in a sizable realm. And that's the, like, the fuzzy logic here of, like, don't make your workspace naming too small, because then you can only stick certain things in there. And then you have a lot of folders, right? Mm-hmm. Like workspace sprawl, you got to find all the stuff and then alternatively, you don't want to have a workspace called company workspace and add everything in there
to the one thing. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So you're trying to limit it down so that I can manage content I'm sending to organizational units. The other side of that would be there are teams that are going to be building reports that they need access to that still fit within that realm. So maybe it is one and the same. And I just talked myself into like, so it's an organization of reporting objects that you share with, you know, individuals or wider audiences through apps.
So this is where I'm a bit torn. Tommy, you asked a good question. What is a workspace? I think it's the administration.
This is my answer,
right? I think it's a good question.
Well, I like your question. I didn't like the answer. So.
No, it's fine. I agree there. I think I take more of a spin on this around Power BI embedded. So I think my area. So if I think about how Power BI reports are created and made, I think the workspace is great for that. I think how they're shared, I typically prefer sharing through the app, right? So sharing through an app is how I would typically want to distribute my content. And if I think about the spheres of people that are building reports, or the bullseye, right? There's a couple data modelers at the center of your data modeling, right? There's a couple people that are really good at data modeling. And then beyond that, there's a larger group of people that are able to do the report building. So let's call this a model with a thin report. And that's kind of the general pattern that I'm used to seeing. And I think the largest ring that we're talking about here is people that just need to consume the data, right? These are the people that are just trying to get access to this information. They're accessing it potentially through Teams, through embedded applications, dare I say SharePoint. Like, there's other places they can go get the content, but I think in order for those to be embedded well, I think we're talking, I mean, Tommy's, your company is pretty much 100% adopted. The share is through a published app that gives you that layer of between what the workspace is doing and everything else. So I think my opinion here is the workspace is really for the authors and creators of content around Power BI, and then the sharing mechanism, which I prefer not to share individual reports. I prefer not to share through my workspace, the one that's just for me. I prefer not to share the entire workspace because I don't want to give everyone access to all reports in the workspace. Maybe there's some in dev. Maybe there's some I don't want to turn on. And so then I'm sharing that stuff through the app. So to me, the workspace is a group of people who are going to be authoring and managing the creation of reports. And then the sharing mechanism happens somewhere else.
So
does that agree with my statement, or
I think it does. I think it's a refinement of, like, I mean, I think
so too.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would not probably share. I don't prefer to share a workspace to people to go see the reports. I
100% well, agree with.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
And that's maybe always the point I was distincting the distinction I was saying there.
So, because I think there's a difference between the use cases and the, what you can do with the workspace, and again, what a role,
yeah,
like the very purpose of the workspace. And from I think from what Melissa's talked about, and from what we use, it's basically the business or the logical organization of your content in Power BI.
Yes.
Whether, again, it's your sales, content or marketing content, the ability to make sure that one from the report author that you can actually know, like, okay, we're publishing a report for, you know, our product team. Do we have a workspace that's kind of geared to them? Is it more for sales? But I think more so too, because we're talking a lot about the sharing side of it, mm-hmm. Is also for the ability to manage who's publishing, especially if you have premium capacity. The role of the workspace is that organization, but also that sub-management, mm-hmm. where you may not have someone who is a global Power BI creator, but maybe they're, you're doing your self-service. Mm-hmm. You have a data champion or your center of excellence where you have someone kind of hybrid. Well, they shouldn't be able to publish in a workspace, or nor should they have access. But they should at least maybe have edit abilities to have that role that someone, that the Power BI admin can govern. And we talked about this as well with the security groups. If you're doing Power BI premium, you can assign the premium capacity. So that's the only way it can be shared.
Okay. So premium makes me nervous because I've been into organizations where premium shows up and everyone just says, oh, premium works great. We're going to use premium on everything. We can share this stuff with a bunch of free people.
Sure. Like, yeah.
And so, like, I've seen issues where we start turning on a P1 SKU where everyone starts putting everything on the P1 SKU and everyone's like, well, Power BI is so slow now. And I keep getting all these failure and refreshes. And like, so that's where I think like there's like two tiers to this workspace piece, right? There's one where you can give people access to it. Members, again, this is the hierarchy of admins, members, contributors, and then viewers inside the portal. But if you're giving access, I don't think I'm giving a lot of access to an admin level inside the workspaces. I'd like to reserve that because I don't want people just picking up premium whenever they think they want to.
Yeah, so I think that talks about, do you guys actually do, or do you see, have you, what's more common, to have a hierarchy of users in a workspace where you have like a work, Power BI admin, workspace admin, Power BI creators, and then viewers. Is that a common scenario that you see? What is the most kind of common way you see workspaces managed by users?
Good question.
I think for me, I struggled a bit with the levels of permission within the workspace because I was thinking about in context with sharing, mm-hmm. and it's not. in my mind, right? Mm-hmm. I have different members of the team that are part of content creation that I don't want to give permissions to, right? Mm. Like it's the tester. It's the person who needs to like mm-hmm. see that these reports are tied to a different model to know where to go, that I want viewer role, right? I never understood viewer role before that, but like ultimately you have different levels of like, I don't want you to get in trouble in this space, right? Like, and that I think is the delineation and the fantastic ability of having different levels within the workspace, but it's still management of the workspace. And just for clarity, I think the reason, the reason, you know, I think we're making the line between don't share workspaces is because you create problems for end users in like, where is my content? You don't want to have them go like, I have to know that this report is in this workspace and I'm going to go access it and view it there. You just simplify the end user experience, I think, when you're sharing directly or using apps especially, right? Because then you can create content as it relates to an end user and business. Whereas with your workspaces, there might be a little bit more of that the technical structure of how you want to group a bunch of reports together or something like that.
Yeah. So I find it interesting that the way that I guess a lot of us organize workspace based on department or teams, and those don't really change consistently or frequently at a company. When we establish our workspaces and we create our, in a sense, our prod or gold workspaces.
Yep.
I think last time we created a workspace that was going to be something that was going to be part of an app or more organizational shared, you know, quite a while ago. Like, is there a lot of needs to create workspaces ad hoc? I don't think so. Like going back to like how do you plan a workspace? Like obviously,
I think
a lot of the work is starting from the ground up.
Yes and no, right? I mean, I guess it depends on how your organization is going to run, right? If you're going to run mm-hmm. a bit more top down and you're going to, you know, if there's a BI team and a lot of the reporting is coming through them out to the organization, then I think you have the ability of locking that down a bit more. But if you provide the onus, if you're a larger company, and again, I was working at a Fortune 100 company, and it made sense for our internal department, like our marketing team had subsets of people in that team. There were different groups of audiences that would make sense for us to kind of create our own workspaces, because we wanted to create content for like sales leads, or we wanted to create content for a category management team. It was still one team, but we had multiple subsets in there. And I think it depends if you want to relinquish that control to a leader in the department that would be able to handle some of that.
Yeah.
So I think the question is going to be, it depends on how your department is running those reports. Now, I think this is where I think Melissa Coates's, you know, her training actually, which I'll put in the chat window, is really well done, because it gives you these kind of considerations, right? You don't want to lock everything down so much that people don't need to do anything, because then what happens is they start emailing around PBX files. People are going to share data no matter what. Let's not make it so hard that it's challenging. Or they're going to publish everything to My Workspace and share the My Workspace reports. Excuse me. Also not very good. I would disagree with those two strategies, but I think in that respect, like you don't want to make so much friction that no one can use it, but you want enough friction that we have a process and we have like some organization around it.
Yeah, because I feel like a lot of the planning is when you're establishing your BI team, you're establishing your workspaces. I guess For you, Seth, especially with a lot of things going on in terms of, you know, you guys have been doing a lot of the enterprise stuff, a lot of externally. Do you see any moments where there's a consistent adaptation or consistent, like, hey, let's review the workspaces that we have, like the maintenance side of it?
No, I mean, it's simple from where we're at, because we're doing a lot of external embedding, right? So yeah. At this point, it just becomes part of the BI team. You have a dev or a test workspace and your production workspace.
Yep.
Right. So that's probably the simple side of workspace creation versus I think a couple things as we branch and open it up to the organization on a wider level. to me, it sounds like a very simple, straightforward thing to just shoot out a doc that says, if you guys want create workspaces, here's the easy path to do that. Here's the thing I need to know, and make it an admin level thing. Because I'd rather, like, you create a workspace and people can go to town, right? Sure. Or maybe as you roll out Power BI in an organization, another great one would be roll up a group of people that all belong in the same, you know, org area, and you create a sales workspace, you create a marketing workspace, you create a shared workspace, so the organization already has that top level thing, so you don't have what Mike is talking about with my workspace. And for for novices out there, like, you don't want to share content wider in an organization in my workspace, because nobody can access that workspace.
Yeah.
So if you leave, if you do something, you're like, all the stuff you did is buried in that spot. And it becomes more problematic when they disable your account all the report stuff.
Yep.
Right. That's why you don't want to use my workspace outside of just like, hey, what do you think of this report before I publish it into a shared location where a team has access to the same artifacts? Ultimately, I do think it's more of an admin level thing. As long as you're simplifying the experience for end users to be like, hey, you know, I need a workspace, premium or non? If you don't know how to answer that question, it's non, right? Like,
right.
And yes. All the tick boxes that you as an administrator, you know, want to keep in line, and maybe pre-create, you know, some big bucket ones. You know, I think it's a better approach as opposed to the Wild West, because unless you're going to take the flip side, which is, you can't though. I was just gonna say, like, is there a path where you have the BI team creating a set of workspaces in a certain way, and then everybody else, you know, can do whatever they want? The problem is you're still creating just tons of content in different locations that could be shared with everybody, and that would be a little messy. Not saying it can't work.
Yeah.
But
This is very interesting. Yeah. So I'm looking at the chat here from YouTube, and Melissa Coates is actually jumping in here, and she's giving
she stayed.
Thanks for hanging around with us while we goof around with the internet. Melissa's giving some really good feedback. There's a lot of good conversation going on, and it's talking to these points, right? It's talking about, you know, there is a viewer role on a workspace. Should we actually really be using the viewer role for anything? Is that something that is legit? And so Melissa's thinking, well, if it's a very small team, you know, kind of a very small group of people, the viewer role might make sense, right? It might be a very subset of thing, but that may not be something where we want to put our stamp of approval. And this is where I like a lot of Melissa's training that she goes through about data governance, really talking about, like, these, when we talk, there's like multiple data sets going on here, right? There are data sets that are like, these are the standards by which we run our company. These are governed, metered, SLA based data sets. They're important. And then there's kind of like the rest of everything else, right? As talking to the Matthew Roach's pyramid, right? There's at the apex, there's those couple golden data sets that are very important to be accurate and to run the organization. I think those workspaces are very limited. And then those are very metered as far as who can edit those workspaces. And you display the content through a Teams, through an app. I think that makes sense. But as you work your way down the pyramid, as things become more organic and kind of self-managed, like people are building Excel sheets, they're loading data from Excel sheets, they're doing customer-specific reporting potentially, or reports they're going to give to the customer, those might be a smaller team of people. I mean, I could totally imagine some of your key customers get some of their own reports. And so you need like a one workspace that's a team of people that are working with their data and handing data to the customer. And that might be, you know, the top 1% of your customers are getting like special reporting for them. That might require the sales team to have authority to create workspaces for what they need, as long as they understand how the ecosystem works.
Yeah, it definitely seems that this workspace planning is very much hand in hand with your Power BI maturity and your adoption.
Agree.
Like, this just, you can't just do workspace planning without any adoption or governance program that already in place or planning to do so, just because I think you're dealing with probably like three major factors. One, there's already existing content in the tenant. So if you're going to say, hey, we're going to create a sales workspace, a marketing workspace, a research and development workspace, and well, if there's already a bunch of other content out there that would make sense there, you can't just have those exist in a vacuum. Mm-hmm. I think the other thing too is getting people to adhere to that, saying we've created this, you know, workspace for team or department X, so all content should go here. Here's the only people should publish it.
Yep.
So I think those are at least the two major factors that you just can't plan workspaces without actually having more people involved, but also having that plan in place.
It's the flip side, right? Not the flip side. She brings a good point, right? So we're talking about organizational structure of some of the workspaces, and maybe that can be done without the administrative control because you're already going to do it, right? Like it to the things we are huge proponents of is as you increase the importance of a report through an organization, there are already stopgaps, right? Yes. Like you can't get an object into those core workspaces.
Agreed.
Unless you have permissions anyway.
Yep.
So maybe outside of BI teams, or if your organization is large enough, right, and you know what those core workspaces are, maybe the Wild West is okay, as long as it's in a shared workspace and not my workspace.
Oh, totally would agree with that one.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll even throw another wrench in the works here too, right? There are certain things, like if we think about all the assets that are governing inside a Power BI workspace, we have data sets, we have data flows, and we have reports or thin reports. And I like to think of those as three separate items. And if you look at some of the Microsoft documentation, they kind of recommend that there's one workspace for just the data sets, and there's a different workspace related for the thin reports, because that's how you share them potentially. So you can give metered access to the data sets or not. So at the end of the, I mean, one thing I'll definitely say for workspaces, this is a general governance thing. I highly recommend just on a piece of paper, something, sit down, draw out the bubbles of where you think these workspaces would go and who needs to access them at a minimum. Just put a little bit of thought into it. And then with that, I would say I'd recommend making security groups for them. So make for each of the workspaces that you're going to govern, that's kind of a more of a governed space, build a security group for admins, contributors, members, and viewers, and do that for each of the workspaces. So when you're bringing people in, there should literally be like four people or four security groups on every workspace. I think that's the better way of going, because there are other assets that go along with this that you may have to also provision. Like, let's imagine, again, I'm spitballing here a bit, but you're going to put a Power App inside a Power BI report. That's licensing things you have to figure out. So now you need to have licensing for the Power App and the Power BI. Or you're going to have a OneDrive location that's going to house the files that you're going to use for the workspace. Again, you want to make sure that the security of those people who are accessing the reports have the access to the underlying OneDrive. So when you start talking about this layering effect of these different things, I think it makes a lot of sense for you to start thinking through these security groups and trying to build them out according to these audiences and kind of per workspace at the upper end of the apex or the pyramid where things are kind of highly governed.
Thoughts? I 100% agree with that. And just walk through the simple scenario, right?
Yep.
You set up your workspaces, you know, call it 20, whatever, right? Throughout your org.
Yep.
You're adding somebody to your team.
Yep.
You got to go through every single workspace and add that person in, or remove the person who left.
Yep.
Or now just extrapolate, like every single time that person needs access, like, or you create a single AD group for your team, and that automatically
puts you in,
like they get added and then they can inherit. It's the same thing with sharing. Right. And that's where
true.
I think a little forethought in using Azure AD and those groups simplifies things so greatly. I agree with that 100%. Yeah.
So let me ask you guys, we've talked a lot about the My Workspace and kind of that Wild West. What do you do though? Like, obviously it's all nice to think about writing down, planning your workspaces, you know, when you're starting from fresh, so to speak, but what do you do when you already are in a situation where there's already a bunch of reports that people rely on that are in My Workspace that people randomly share, or there's, goodness forbid, content packs? Or workspaces that you might
stop swearing, Tommy.
Oh my gosh, Tommy.
I know that's
isn't that a feature from like 2017 that they've been deprecated since for a while now?
I think they're still technically available to a degree.
They're still supported, but you can't.
They're
really...
still supported.
Wow.
You can actually. Yeah, there's
Halloween. It's Halloween, Tommy's.
Stop scaring me, Tommy.
There's something called There is still an artifact, and that is scary. But like, so, but you deal with these situations. You're like, hey, what are you looking at? Oh, it's this report that's in the our quota sales department integrated workspace. It's like, who manages that? I don't know. What do you do in those types of situations when you're trying to say, okay, we have all these reports in my workspace by random people. We have a plan for what the workspaces should be for the organization.
Yes.
Where do you start?
This is a hard ball of wax to unwind, essentially. So I've walked into organizations that were sharing reports to people they should not have been sharing. And there was information being displayed in a... So here's what kind of happens, right? That kind of... I feel like this kind of grows to a point. Something has been shared with people who don't quite know what's going on. And at some point, either someone leaves, something's deprecated, something happens, and everyone's like, oh my word, we need to step back on this because we just screwed everything up. So something bad happened, and this person was seeing data they shouldn't have, something got shared that shouldn't have been, something's unpublished to web and we didn't know about it. And so this clamping effect kind of happens really quick. There's this rubber band effect that comes and everyone goes, no, and we kind of like shut everything down, lock it all down, and we turn it all off. So
right.
I think you have to kind of like very quickly go find some tooling, and Scanner API may be one of those really good ones that we could use for this. But if you're in an environment where there's a lot of things out there, you have to first go do an assessment. What is the scope of what's critical here? And I think you really have to, in a short order, understand who's sharing what across the organization, what are things, what assets have been shared across what teams, and go through and quickly evaluate, is this right? Right? Because there's likely, in this wild, wild west of things, there's likely a lot of bad practices. And I would say, you have to kind of quickly assess what's going on and then really consider jumping into like, okay, now we need to start thinking about what does the center of excellence happen? Because we need to start running people through some education to help get them up to speed, because people will whine or have problems as soon as you like take everything away. If you just turn it all off, people are like, I can't do anything now. And now people start sharing PBX files between each other, and you start creating bad habits by locking it down too quickly. So I guess if when I'm coming into clients, there's a lot of things that are going on there. First thing we do is we take an assessment, figure out what's going on, figure out if there's any key data sets or asset IDs or assets that we could look at that are important that we need to be starting to clamp down on. And then we go engage those teams, those individuals, and say, Can I help? You have to engage and help, right? Because you have to show them like what you've been doing is not right. Here's a better way of doing it.
So this is actually a question I think we've asked Melissa 100 times, but where's the carrot and the stick in this? Just to get someone to say, hey, this is a better way of doing it, that's not going to necessarily lead someone to say, oh yeah, we'll definitely, move on to what you guys are saying. There's going to be an incentive or a reason why someone's going to migrate over for that, for their content. And what are things that you can do, or to in a sense get people to say, okay, these are the new workspaces?
Oh, this is a good question too. So I'm reading part of the chat here, and I think there's some people. So,
Mike's case, the rubber band effect, I guess, like, you don't have a choice, man. Like, the org is already like dictating that something bad happened, and we're putting things into a centralized location or something like that. I think this speaks to administration reporting, right? Understanding what's in the ecosystem and how people are utilizing as much as we can. I don't know if we could understand what's being shared in the APIs.
I've
never dug into that. Okay. So if we can, then that's your answer.
I mean, Tommy, right? doesn't the scanner API do that?
So that's the beautiful thing about the scanner API now, and what it actually scans is because before the situation, the horror story where I had a situation years ago where the sales team used a content pack as for demos for clients. However, this content pack was created by someone who was no longer at the company, and they created that content pack on their own by themselves
in my
the company. And yeah, and so, well, however you, yeah,
that would have been the trifecta, man.
Yes, and yeah, and I was and it wasn't refreshing. It was like, okay, I didn't know where the report lived, so it was I was Sherlock Holmes, meeting with people and hey, do you use this report? Yeah. Hey, do you remember who shared it with you? Oh, Jim. Okay, do you remember who shared it with you? Oh, Kelly. Okay, and we went back and back and back to say, where did the origination of this come from? Because previously, even as a admin, you don't have access to the content unless you have unless you're a member of a workspace. Now with the scanner API, I mean, literally just a few months out of the gates, you can actually scan and look at all the data's tenant metadata. Say, hey, what workspaces are being created?
Yeah.
What content is in there? You can combine this with the viewer or the activity report to say what's being created and also what's being viewed. But that's huge in terms of saying, hey, I noticed that you created a report that should have been in a different workspace. So, or you're creating stuff in my personal workspace. We don't do that. You can actually
That's a governance thing too, right? Allows your governance team to manage what is happening in the organization and making sure that you're giving freedoms, but at the same time, if you're conveying that certain things should or shouldn't happen, that's how you slap wrists. I mean, or gently remind people not to do things.
I also think, like, take this opportunity. Like, when you're going into a situation like this, the opportunity to build that single point of information, that Confluence page, the SharePoint page, whatever that thing is, I think your first thing to do is start communicating the expectations of things. I think when you get into these places like this, there really was no expectation. Here's Power BI, figure it out. You know, go do what you got to do. And so people were just getting jobs done, getting work accomplished, the same way they would just kind of get things done in Excel. So I think you have to come in with like a very clear, like, hey, we're changing some policies. Here's some things that we've seen that, and maybe even, I mean, I would even give stories of this, right? For those of you who are listening, if you want a bad story, right? I was in a company and they were sharing people's salaries across teams that should not have been shared.
Yay!
Yeah.
Companies love that.
Whoops. But so you can give stories like that. Like, hey, there's data that we're having that people are creating that we do not want to share. An example might be something like this. We don't want to share this kind of information to every person. We need to have a metered way of doing that. So in lieu of that, here's what our policies are going to look like. And here's ways how we're going to be able to help you, you know, still do your job, but we're going to add some data policies around some of this. And I think communicate that on the SharePoint, because then you can point people to this, Tommy, to your point, run the scanner API, get all the things and what they're shared, who they're shared with, and start hitting those lists. Start with the reports that have been shared the widest and say, hey, everyone, just FYI, here's some new company policy. This is what we're going to be bringing on. This is how we're going to handle this. This is how we're going to manage it. And point them to the Confluence page or the SharePoint page and say, here's where we're going to be handling this. If you have any questions, we're going to have I think, Tommy, you guys do it really well. There's a lunch and learn every Friday that's going to help you figure out how to answer these questions. You're going to have to, like, again, bring that knowledge to the broader part of the organization.
So this may be too much of a stick in terms of from the governance side, but if you do have a lot of Power BI creators that are not necessarily in a centralized team, like you have the data analyst for sales, the data analyst for finance, et cetera, that are creating their reports.
Yep.
One thing that we've tried to do in the past, or what we've done in the past, is where, okay, we're giving you access to a workspace. You can publish here. Mm-hmm. However, once every quarter, you basically have to go to a Power BI creator, like a check-in where we're going to review best practices.
Yep.
We're going to review, like, basically, like, especially using the Power BI apps.
Yeah.
We have a theme for every app, because that was something Seth highlighted to me way back, I think, in like our fourth episode. It was like, so, which now we do, where it's like every Power BI app has its own kind of theme, because it's amazing how your own brand colors don't really jive with every, you know, colors from 2015. Thanks, Microsoft. Anyways, but making sure people are hearing those best practices, and if you don't attend, you lose your access.
Yes. I think that's I think it's a good carrot and a good stick, right?
Yeah.
It's we're going to continue to help support you, but you got to play ball with our team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was gonna. I it's a good point, Tommy.
overall, right? I think if I'm going to top down the whole conversation, I think administrative reporting is something you should create right off the bat, or get implemented on solutions that already have a bunch of workspaces in the wild, because you need to understand what's out there or what's mm-hmm. going out there.
Yeah.
Planning a structure of like how you're going to build workspaces for teams, or the promotion strategy of how things should graduate within the company. Utilize Azure Active Directory as much as you possibly can for workspace, mm-hmm. you know, team management as well as sharing. Mm-hmm. Huge proponent, because that removes the permissioning in Power BI. Reorganize and kind of organize the structure of like the workspaces and how you want them created in the organization, and then communication and training, right? Like, make sure that people know the types of workspaces they should create or should stay away from, or how they would promote things or access to utilize those objects better. But ultimately, I think it does come down to a team being able to manage and understand what's out there. So, Mike, you avoid, you know, the scenario that you do where you don't want content shared widely. And then at the same time, you don't have this just massive sprawl within, you know, you could have a massive sprawl, but it eventually gets cleaner.
Yeah.
The more widely a report is shared. Right.
I agree.
Let's not forget, like, at the end of the day, you're not doing workspace planning and this governance and management just for the heck of it, just because, you know, you want to know. It's going to reflect on the user experience. Because if there's a bunch of Wild West workspaces and there you don't have a kind of policy or nomenclature for the name convention and what content's there, that's going to confuse users. If you have a finance workspace that has, you know, a baseball stats, you're like, okay, I don't know if this correlates or not.
Yeah.
This is about the user experience, and also for them to have a clear understanding of what content's in there. They can trust, if it's in a prod workspace, if it's one of our production workspaces, they can trust the content.
Yep. Yep.
And it's also following some pattern, because even the little things of having two reports side by side, but their layouts are completely different, for a lot of users, that's too much. Where if you have the title on the left, the title on the top, maybe there's no reason if they're literally next to each other in a Power BI app. So those types of things, that's what we're trying to do here, is we're trying to allow the user experience and their user, we'll say that, you know, understanding what content's there is the best experience possible. And you're also doing a pretty good data quality too. So you're not also reporting on things that may not be right.
Well, I think you make a really good point there, Tommy. I think there's some level of this where I don't think you can always say everything's governed and everything's ungoverned. I think there's a kind of a blend of both of these things. I think Melissa made a really good point here. She says some orgs say certain workspaces are governed, they're managed, and others are ungoverned. And I think, I mean, if you think about, like, there's thresholds to get data moving across these different workspaces, I think there's definitely most organizations, I think, need to have some workspaces that are highly controlled, metered, and there are others that are not metered, and it's a little bit more open-ended to the organization. And there needs to be, if you're going to do that, there needs to be at least a process. And how do I promote things from these ungoverned areas to more governed areas of the organization or the Power BI workspace? So I think my key there is, like, again, this is why I highly recommend Melissa's training, because one of the things she goes through is she says, here's some things you should think about for like an SLA as these data sets move from ungoverned to governed. Here's branding you might want to apply to those reports so that an ungoverned report looks like this and a governed report has some sort of metrics or branding around it, so you can easily at a glance identify that this is coming from a metered source. And so I think those are very important aspects that you want to think about as an organization. And there's a lot of training out there around this. The adoption roadmap does a lot of good things around Power BI adoption roadmap. Is that right? Did I say that phrase right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's another one that has a good thoughts around that.
In general, I 100% agree. You know, the fantastic thing about not the adoption roadmap and the structure that Melissa's played a huge role in, right, is the key points for people going through these thought processes of all of the different things you want to take into consideration. Mm-hmm. And the material that's out there to help us do that is just, it's amazing, right? Because
yeah,
there is a lot. There's a lot to think about. There's a lot you can enhance, like put on a roadmap to enhance about your solution, you know, clean up workspaces, create new paths for your organization to streamline, you know, the wider sharing of reports throughout the organization through that escalation process.
Yeah.
And everything that's out there is just is gold from the standpoint of people like, how do I do this?
Yeah.
Right. And here, like this workspace thing alone, right? Like four different sections, everyone's got three to four different bullets of just making you think about the things that you should at least consider to see if it's applicable to you. Are you super small? Well, you may not, you may have like one in each. If you're really large, you have all four to consider every time you're, you know, kind of putting together the planning and stuff. So love the stuff that's out there.
I feel like a lot of this too, it depends on what size organization you're in. Cause
yeah,
100%. I think if you're just rolling out Power BI for a small organization, you're going to have one guy or one gal who's doing all the things. Like they're going to model, they're going to build workspaces.
This is Bob's workspace. Yeah. This is Jill's workspace.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we're fine with that.
And you're good with it. But I think as the initiative grows, you know, and when you have the capability, at some point this becomes a larger thing. And I think, again, sharing information, culture change, those are things that are real things you need to address and talk through. And so, again, I'm going to take some key points away from this. I'm going to lean very heavily on Melissa's article that we're kind of talking about here is the work-based planning. You know, think through the four kind of key bullet points she points out. What kind of content is it? What's the subject matter? What's the purpose of that content? And can we group content to different purposes? Who is that content being delivered to? What's the distribution method? And then how will the content be managed and who is going to manage them? In these smaller organizations, it might be one person doing all that. But in these bigger organizations, you might have a different person making the content and another person managing who gets the content. That could be a totally different team. Or you could have a whole request cycle that, hey, I need access to the sales report. Well, fill out this form and we'll figure out if it fits you. Like you could have a larger team can afford more positions for that so you can have more governance around it. And then finally, we'll be like, how are you going to deploy the content? Is it going to be in Teams? Are you going to do apps? Just thinking about those four questions, I think, really open up a lot of your mind to like, I need to put some more thought around what the workspaces are doing.
Great. Man, you really see how all this ties into the Power BI adoption roadmap.
Yeah.
Man, like just like from having the sponsorship, because if you don't have the authority to tell people to move workspaces or set a policy, they're not going to do it. Why would they do it?
Yes. And that's a really good point too, because you can have all the control, but none of the power. Welcome to program management.
Right. Right.
All the responsibility and none of the power.
Oh, maybe that's what I was saying.
You know? All the control, but none of the power.
That's a messed up phrase. It's a little early in the morning. I didn't get enough coffee this morning. This technology frazzled me.
Just keeping you.
Keep me honest, Seth. Awesome. So with that, I think we're at a good breaking point. We're a little bit over. We tried to capture a couple extra minutes from the slow delay this morning.
A little bit late.
Oh my word!
Right.
The internet was not happening this morning. Well, with that, gentlemen, thank you very much for the conversation. Melissa, thank you very much for jumping on the YouTube chat. There was a ton of conversation happening there. So thank you very much for being very engaging with the audience. We hope you guys pulled out a couple key things. If nothing else, there's a couple great articles we linked in there. I also highly recommend the Melissa Coates data and governance deployment training. I put the link in the chat window as well. I'll put it also in the description here. Really strong stuff. Helped me think about a lot more things than I was, you know, reaffirmed a lot of things I already knew. And then it helped me think about other edge cases, small orgs, big orgs, planning for deployment of resources and how to promote them into different places. So with that, thank you all very much. Our only ask is that you give us some grace on this episode for the poor audio and video experience. We'll work harder next time to improve that. But if you did enjoy this, if you got some good insight out of this, please find one other person, share the podcast with them. Just let them know that you enjoyed the content. And we'll hopefully see you on Thursday. Tommy.
You'll be amazed when you listen to the audio that you'll have no idea what we're talking about right now.
Tommy, where can you find the podcast?
You can find the podcast anywhere they are available. If you're watching live right now and you've stayed with us, you can watch or listen to the edited version where
there
were no technical difficulties. You'll have no idea what we're talking about. Subscribe on Apple and Spotify. You'll always get new episodes there every Tuesday and Thursday. If you're listening right now and you want to join the conversation live where there are no technical difficulties, you can do so Tuesday and Thursday morning, 7:30 a.m. Central. Subscribe to Power BI Tips on YouTube and LinkedIn. If you just click on the bell, the subscribe button, it'll always let you know when the next video is coming or the next episode's coming.
We've got the next, I think, 2 weeks or so scheduled with content. So we're just kind of trying to load the pipeline up and so you can see what kind of topics are relevant to you and which ones you want to listen to. Thank you all very much, and we'll see you on Thursday, hopefully.